Thank you all so much for coming here tonight. I remember when I entered high school, actually a prep school, they immediately put me into remedial reading for 2 years because I could not write a 20-word sentence without making 30 grammatical mistakes. So I'm so pleased to be here tonight and to see you all here tonight supporting the Literacy Volunteers of Santa Fe. Anne Hillerman has graciously granted me her time tonight, so I'm going to use mine and hers for this little talk. One of New Mexico's most endearing and enduring writers died 10 days ago on Friday, January 30th. Tony Martis published his books and wrote his plays and essays under the name of E.A. Martis. He was 76. Tony's brother Michael has always referred to him as Anthony. I can't be in Albuquerque this afternoon to celebrate Tony's life in a memorial service at the University of New Mexico Chapel, so I'm going to celebrate it with y'all here today. Many of you are probably also Tony's friends and his admirers. I've been asked by the organizers here to explain who inspires me. I have to say that almost every book I've ever read or movie I've ever seen or play I've ever watched or song I've ever listened to has inspired me. Literature that inspires me can be Damon Runyon's gangster stories like Johnny One Eye or The Snatching of Bookie Bob or Denise Chavez's Loving Pedro Infante. Movies that inspire can be Francois Truffaut's Jules and Jim or Jim Carrey in Dumb and Dumber. Plays that inspire can be Luis Valdez's Zoot Suit or Lorraine Hansberry's A Raisin in the Sun. Songs that inspire can run a gamut from Pete Seeger's Where Have All the Flowers Gone to Dolly Parton's I Will Always Love You to Little Richard belting out Tutti Frutti. Poetry that inspires can be by Garcia Lorca, Romancero Gitano, Robert Service, The Shooting of Dan McGrew, or Demetria Martinez in her collections, The Devil's Workshop and Breathing Between the Lines. I've always left no stone unturned because Flaubert said a writer must know everything. The only insights and recommendations I have to share with teachers, tutors, and community leaders for nurturing a reading culture in our students is to make it relevant, make it irreverent, make it entertaining, make it funny, make it passionate, make it fun. Let them loose. They will show us the way if we don't insist on imposing it on them. We all learn just by going there and falling flat on our faces every 10 feet along the way. Don't trip them up. Let them trip up themselves. That's how inspiration engulfs us. Tony Martis stood for everything I've admired in a writer, in a human being. He was a scholar, an intellectual. He was gentle and a gentleman, a homeboy, a compassionate human being. He had deep New Mexico roots, and he was a world citizen, a Renaissance man, a lefty, and also a very funny guy. He was a poet, a playwright, an essayist, an actor, a historian, a teacher. He was everything. One of his obituaries said he could not abide the right-wing crazies who are so prevalent today. He taught generations of students to write creatively, to have a deep social awareness, and to understand society and global politics. He taught them to follow Bertrand Russell's dictum, never try to discourage thinking, for you are sure to succeed. I want to give you a brief range of Tony by reading you a few of his poems. They make me laugh, they make me cry, they've all inspired me. This one is called FedEx Blues. Inscrutable FedEx message, call the 1-800 number and say the 5-digit routing code. I call, computer voice, say the number slowly, I say, 00050. Computer voice, you said 37186. No, I say. I said no such thing. Computer voice, please repeat the numbers. This time I mince no numbers. 00050. Computer voice, I don't understand you. Please use the number pad on your phone. I use the number pad, 00050. Computer voice, you didn't press the pound sign. I press 00050, then the pound sign. Computer voice, you must say this number. Speak slowly to confirm. I say 00050. Computer voice, you said 49263. No, no, I say. I said no such thing. Computer voice, please repeat the numbers. I say snurgle, blat, biffo, blot, zinkle, guff. Computer voice, you said 00050. The item has been shipped. You should receive it. If you have questions, please use our voice automated system. Practice your enunciation. Thank you. This next one is called In My Violin Dream. The concert violinist can't play. His fingers are numb. He's my friend. I tell him I will take his place and play the Bach solo for violin. Everything will be okay. He mumbles, thank you. And he says, I'm off to the cocktail party. Everything will be okay. I will play the Bach solo for violin. It bothers me. I don't know how to hold the violin. It's difficult for a left-handed person. I've got time to get the hang of it. Everything will be okay. Meanwhile, horses run through the auditorium. We've got big bucks on this. We expect you to fill this place. Not to worry, I tell the promoter. I will play the Bach solo for violin. I will play it well. It bothers me. I don't know the Bach solo for violin. I must learn to read music. The horses gallop out of the auditorium. Everyone's back from the cocktail party. I'd better learn to play, I think to myself. The audience is restless. Backstage, I hear murmurs, the critical coughs. The curtain opens. Wild applause for the violin virtuoso. I raise the bow. I put string to string and scratch an off-key sound. I drench the Bach solo for violin in the aloof sweat of dreams. I could sure use some karaoke, I say. The audience laughs. I tried to play this once in a rowboat, I say. More laughter from the audience. Maybe they'll think I'm a comedian. Almost exactly 2 years ago, Tony wrote me a long letter in response to a novel that I'd written. In this letter, he said this, I think On Top of Spoon Mountain is a solid, entertaining, and tragic comic novel, very much in the tragicomedia Spanish tradition. For me, your novel also brought me face to face with my own brand of anarchism. I hate artificial authority, the kind that has to flaunt titles, positions, suits, and all that crap. I had my first serious run-ins with authority in grade school when the Good Sisters of Charity at San Felipe School in Old Town tried to convince me of the validity of the argument that God made the world, but nothing made God. And he, indisputably a he, had always existed. This made no sense to me even then. So the nuns, if necessary, would resort to the appeal to authority, the trip to the priest. The priest was an intimidating figure to me, a child, and I would inevitably say, yes, I see, Father, or something to that effect. Maybe I was a coward, but I was a child, and the looming presence of the priest was certainly that of a bull. So you can imagine how I thrilled to the 50s Ben Shahn poster when I first saw it. Quote, you have not converted a man because you have silenced him. Tony was whimsical, often humorous. He could be fascinating, erudite, also very tough. In a simple poem called Proposition 187, he laid on some heavy timber. Reactionary Proposition 187 on the California ballot of 1994 basically denied health care coverage and public education and other social services to undocumented, mostly Latino immigrants. Here's how Tony confronted that. Like they say in the movies, any resemblance between this poem and real politics is purely coincidental. We were lucky from the beginning. We kicked out the undocumented Mexicans. We expelled the Mexican Americans, Indians, Hispanics, Latinos of all types. We finished off the African Americans, the Jews, the Catholics, and even the Protestants. Then it was their turn, the Japanese, the Chinese, every Asian. In vain did some Norwegian or Swede or Hindu try to hide among us whose gaze is serene. They were sent to foreign lands. To make a long story short, only you and I are left. You with your blue eyes stained with some ambiguous color. You with your blonde hair, although some of the strands are dark and suspicious. I know that you fear me. You keep watch over my weapons. You count every bullet. Be calm, woman. I need you, so I can display my purity of blood to someone. We'll have plenty of time to die. This country will serve as a model for a bountiful world without people, desolate, perfect. In a small poetry chapbook called There Are Four Wounds, Miguel, Tony published a series of poems he wrote about the death of his 20-year-old daughter, Galit, in 1994. These few powerful poems have moved me as much as anything that I've ever read. This one is called Crestview Funeral Home. Wrapped in white linen and your prayer shawl, my child, you are captain of a silent ship already parting the waters of the unknown. The service, traditional, simple, flows with a dignified drone for you, my most untraditional daughter. As the prayers rise and fall, images come back from a happier time before this coffin of unvarnished pine, pegged and with no nails. Like a burning man in a sea of fire, I grab onto a plank of memory. I recall you and your sisters traveling with me when I acted on make-do stages everywhere in New Mexico. We bounced along two-lane blacktops, munched down burgers on the run, stayed in cheap motels in Raton, Socorro, Roy, Ruidoso, Taos. We loved the anarchy of being on the road. There was a time on the Canadian I stared down a bull, mooed to him from the safety of the car. Dad, we better go, you said, with those large, luminous olive eyes. Then there was the time in Ruidoso, the conversation-starved man followed us off the stage, stuck his head in the car window, and talked as I quietly slipped into gear, waved goodbye, then slowly drove away. And he never stopped talking. We laughed for hours over that. The thin plank of memory smolders, then burns. And again I swim on fire back to the prayers, the service about to end, this summing up of my daughter's life. Oh, how I want to grab you and run, Galit. I want to go on the road again with you, play all those towns once more, then drive on forever into the sun. We sing alabanzas here when people die. We sing corridos, and what I love most about New Mexico is that we have a marvelous irreverence for death, perhaps because being so poor and so intimate with each other, we have an overbearing familiarity with mortality. And I love Tony's attitude about that in his poem, La Coqueta, The Coquette. A true flirt She has so many names. La huesuda, la flaca, la calaca, la hedionda, la tiznada, la fregada, la tía Sebastiana, to name only a few. In the market at Morelia, a young man running with a side of beef bumps into me. The blood smears the back of my shirt. I know that she's flirting again. She brushed up against me, left me a token of her esteem, the bony-faced woman. She knows that I tried to find amulets with her rictus smile to hang from the rearview mirror of my car. She knows that at least I tried to stuff her image into a moral, a feed bag, but that day she was not in the market. That's why she smiled at me on the road from Matehuala to San Luis Potosí when the van hydroplaned out of control. Pues no pasó nada, hombre, no me digas. She smiled again on the road between Guadalajara and Tepic when I hydroplaned again in the Ford van, smashed against a guardrail, went hurtling across the road into the oncoming headlights. This is it, I thought. This is really it. The oncoming headlights moved to the right, then vanished. No collision. Ah, she had a good laugh that time. I know we're on good terms. That old flirt and me, esa pelona cabrona, la desdentada, la mala cara, la bribona, la roñosa, la arpienta, la chingada, la muerte. Death, with all her alluring names. Come. Bony-faced woman, skinny one, skull-faced, bald-headed one, bitch, stinking one, toothless one, soot-covered one, sour face, screwed-up one, rascal, grim-faced Aunt Sebastiana, ragged one, dirty one, fucked-up one, come, let us dance, on and on together, always laughing and dancing, we're two of a kind. Let me end with this short poem that shows Tony at his most gentle and whimsical. It's called Wings. Hummingbird, colibri, tsinsun is the word I prefer for its message of here now, moving fast, gone with a low Doppler moan. Little guy, that tsinsun, has the movements of a boxer, only bird who can fly backwards with grace, unlike certain politicians, but I won't go there. For now, enjoy the buzz blur of wings buoyant, the sky a whirl of blue and vectors open to the future. El tsinsun breaks our bonds of gravity, lifts us out of ourselves for an eternity in its tiny head. Bueno, that's it for today about one of our wonderful thinkers and writers and actors and artists and professors in New Mexico, who has inspired me, who has showed me how it's done, and who has helped make New Mexico so precious to me. I live and write in our state because of so many friends and neighbors like Tony, who embody the indomitable spirit, the cultural mezcla, the arrogant attitudes, the pure chutzpah that defines our citizenry, our imposing landscapes, our turbulent history, and our insistence on laughing a carcajadas in spite of everything. What else can I say about Tony except adios, nene manito? Suerte, chamaco. Amor. Y cuidadito siempre. Or, as Tony himself might have put it, los muertos al pozo y nosotros al gozo. Bury the dead, then let's have fun.